Shut up and sit down.
Hello, everybody, all of our listeners. Welcome to another episode of The Hard Truce with Scott Lurie. My name is Mike Doney, and I am joined here today with Scott Lurie. Scott, how's it going?
It's going great. How are you doing today, Mike?
I'm doing well. Great. I'm doing well. Happy New Year to everybody. We are excited to be back in 2021. I know we got a couple episodes out last year, but we certainly have a lot on the docket for this year. So
absolutely. Pretty exciting stuff. We're going to take some deep dives into some pretty cool real estate topics, including today, which should be pretty fun. But the goal really is to start digging deep into some of these topics and hopefully offer some value to some of our listeners. Thank you for listening, and hope your investing for 2021 is going great.
Yeah. Yeah, so let's get right into it. Today we are going to be discussing some of the more popular real estate investment strategies. So we obviously see a number of different strategies every day, right? We deal with a number of investors, and each of them kind of has their, you know, their own routines, their own strategies or ideas of how their deal is going to work.
Yep.
But there are definitely some popular ones, some ones that we see, you know, most regularly. And I think that's what we want to kind of focus on today.
Yeah, today we're going to basically just discuss basically at a high level the different strategies. We're going to focus on three of them. You know, real estate, like any industry, you know, we've got a lot of acronyms that kind of define a lot of who we are and what we do. And so, you know, I think it's going to be pretty interesting to discuss the strategies. And, you know, I think a lot of what we discussed last time focused on risk profile has a lot to do with, you know, what strategy is probably best for you, you know, at the end of the day, and how much time you really have. So that'll be part of the topic that we're going to dig into as well.
And I think, and to your point then, I think some of these strategies kind of take into account, okay, what is my risk tolerance, right?
Absolutely.
What kind of cash flow am I looking to get out of this property, right? Am I looking for that lump sum, big splash in the pot? Or, you know, am I looking for the ongoing sort of recurring income from this property that I can kind of hold for a long time? So,
yeah, and all of those, you know, factor in, obviously, risk profile, capital intensive nature of each strategy should be evaluated. And then, you know, how do you finance and actually execute to be successful? And so when we get into these strategies here, we're going to take a quick look in each of them. We're going to get a little deeper into them. We're going to talk a little bit about, you know, where I've seen people be successful in this trade. And then, you know, we'll wrap it up, and hopefully, you know, as this series goes on, we'll be able to dig in a little bit deeper into each topic. And then obviously share with you, you know, how do you get to do it, right? Everyone wants to know the how, right? How can I do it? How can I, you know, whether you're a 16-year-old kid who just got his license, who wants to, you know, invest and make money, right? What a great aspiration. Or you're a retiree, or you're a W-2 employee working for a large corporation, or you're an entrepreneur, you know, every one of these has something for you. And so, you know, we'll take that opportunity with you. And I think it's relatively important.
So which one, what do you want to get started with?
Yeah, so just to get started, you know, real estate, there are so many strategies, really. You know, and you see a new one pop up every single day. You know, it's someone trying to sell something that'll come up with a new strategy on how to do something. You know, what I've found is the tried and true tested strategies have always been, you know, what people acronym is the BRRRR method, or the buy, rehab, rent, refinance, repeat conversation, right? And that one resonates really well with almost anybody, right? Everybody can get their arms around that. I'm going to buy something for X value. I'm going to improve it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to rent it to gain that income. Then I'm going to go refinance it to get my money back, or to pay off my existing debt to get it into more long-term debt. And then I'm going to repeat, right? Keep doing that. How many can you do a year? I want to add 10 units this year. I want to add 20 units this year. I want to add 1,000 units this year. How many units do you want to add? And so that's an important strategy that a lot of people have different names for, but it's a proven method out there, and one that I think we all can understand.
Yeah, and I think this one, maybe more so than most, is kind of that thing where you're really looking for that diamond in the rough, right? You're looking to try and find that value that's so low, but that nobody else noticed for some reason.
Yeah,
and then you want to go in on it.
Yeah,
right?
Or sometimes you have that vision, right? Yeah. Like, hey, you know, I see this is a 2-bedroom, but I can actually make it a 3-bedroom because the XYZ is now can, you know, and we're seeing a lot of that in some of our fix and flip properties where we're seeing the extra value being created by adding that egress window into the basement. And so just to go over the high level of the strategies, you have the BRRRR method, obviously the buy, rehab, rent, refinance, repeat. And then we have the fix and flip method, right? So I'm going to buy a distressed asset or an asset that needs improvement. I'm going to fix it up and I'm going to seek a one-time profit center or a flip, fix and flip, or whatever other acronyms are out there for the fix and flip properties. And then the third one, which we see a lot, there's a lot of method around this, is called wholesaling. And wholesaling is a really, really tough process, right? Wholesaling is what everybody wants to do, meaning everyone wants to not invest any capital. They want to go and find a house and they want to make money, right? So it costs you nothing. You flip a contract or you're flipping a piece of paper from here to here. And from here to here, I went from my left hand to my right hand. And in between there, you're getting a wholesale fee. And everybody wants to do that, right? It's the easiest strategy. I can do nothing and I want to gain a fee, right?
Well, that's that risk profile, right?
I mean,
if I don't have to put any of my money in, but I can make some money.
Yeah, the problem becomes two things, and we'll get into them a little bit more, but you have to know what you're doing, right? There are some really good wholesalers out there, and I buy properties from them, you know? I'm okay if someone wants to invest their time finding a distressed property and sell it to me. That's great, right? It takes my time where it can be used doing something else, and I can pay them or compensate them for their work,
sure.
And there's value to that. But at the end of the day, when we get into it a little bit, we'll have to talk a little bit more, but everybody, and I'm sure all of you that own real estate or get the phone call, hey, my name is Damien. Do you want to sell me your property? Damien, what property? I don't know. What property do you have? Well, I've got 1,500 of them, sir. And you're like, okay, Damien, thanks for the call. Right. Click. And we're getting some, telemarketers from overseas that are starting to do this right now. And so, it works. It's a dial for dollars, And so we'll talk into that a little bit more. But let's dig in here to the three topics, if we don't mind. We'll jump in quickly into the BRRRR method, or the buy, rehab, rent, refinance, and repeat. And so this method is phenomenal, right? So you're going to buy a house, right? So think about all of the older people that own houses that are moving into assisted or senior living, right? And so those people have houses that haven't been updated in 5, 10, 20, 30, 50 years, sometimes 60 years. And we see a lot of this in what we do. And so you're buying this house. You're saying, I want to create residual income, but I want to get a good tenant and I want to build my asset up. So you're going to buy a house in a good neighborhood or in a neighborhood. You're going to rehab it. Now, your rehab is up to you. Define your rehab. What I want to caution you on is do not overimprove a property, right? If you overimprove a property, the person who's going to win is nobody, right? You're going to spend more dollars. You're not going to get the dollars out of it. Where do you get your dollars? You get your dollars in your kitchen and your bathrooms, and that's that. So if you put a roof on a property as part of your rehab, you don't really get bonus for that, right? You kind of need the roof on the property, just like you need the furnace on the property to make sure that there's heat, right? So you don't get value for that, but you do get value for a new kitchen and a new bath and garage stalls, etc. And so when you're buying and you're rehabbing and then you're renting, that third piece of it is so critical. What's your process to rent? Are you using a third-party manager to be your tenant manager? Are you going to manage these yourself? If you're going to manage these yourself, what systems are you using to find your tenant? Right? Mm-hmm. Are you advertising on Craigslist and then taking the first person that says, I got $1,000 in cash to rent the space? Or are you doing a background check and making sure that the person that's going to live there is a sound person with a good job that can pay your rent? Right? So you have to figure out the process, because money, getting the rent money is the easy part. Month one. It's how do you get a tenant to be in your building or in your property for 3 years? Because every time a tenant moves out, you've got to paint it. You got to put new carpet in. You got to clean the carpet if you're not putting new carpet in. And so that costs you money, right? Money that you never can get out, right? Because you got to clean the carpet. But if the same tenant lived in the house, you don't have to clean the carpet.
Right.
So if you can keep that person in there, the longer you keep them in there, the less friction you have. Friction is dangerous. Friction is dangerous. And so then the next piece of it, obviously, is the refinancing. And this is the game, guys. This is it, right? How do you get somebody to agree that what you've done to this property has increased the value, mm-hmm. and hopefully over more than
to the point where that you can get all of your money out. That's the trick. And I've been doing this for 20 years. And the trick to it is to get all of your money out. That is the trick, to remain yourself leveraged. And we talked about leverage. And there, if you go to our YouTube page, Milwaukee Hard Money YouTube page, there's a leveraging video. 44,000 or 42,000 times it's been viewed. It's not by accident. People are interested in leverage. Everybody is. Go watch the video. But in that video, we talked about a property that I bought. I renovated it. I made it very nice. It's in Shorewood, Wisconsin. And then from there, I rented it. And I rented it and I got $1,600 aside. I wasn't planning on getting that much, but I got $3,200 a month. And I was able to then refinance it. And I got all of my money out, 100% of my money out of it. And so I'm now playing with bank debt that's seasoned and I'm getting great rent. And those tenants, by the way, have been there since I renovated it 4 years ago.
And how long, maybe on that property in particular, but in general, how long does it take to season a property? So if somebody is looking to get that leverage.
Yeah, that's the catch, right, Mike? So and we'll dig deeper into this method in its own episode when we're going to talk just about the rental and the BRRRR strategy or however you want to describe it. But, you know, the seasoning, some banks will season after 3 months. Some will season after 6 months. Some will season after 12 months.
Sure.
And so you have to be prepared and know what you're getting into. As part of our first episode, know your business plan, right? Who is your lender? Start talking to them. What is your seasoning? Ask, when can I refinance this property? When can I refinance this property with the new appraisal superseding my purchase price, right? Because that's the important question, right? You can refinance it usually now, but they'll say, well, your purchase price was X. You're going to get 80% of X or 75% of X. That's your loan. Well, no, sir or ma'am. I would like to get 80% of my new value. Right. And that's the game, guys. That's the aha moment. If you buy something for 50 and you put in 25,000 and now it's worth 100 and you can get someone to give you 75% of 100, you get your $75,000 back. You are 100% leveraged. And so long as your rent can cover your mortgage and your expenses and you can have cash flow positive off of it, your cash on cash return is infinite. It's an amazing process. And so we'll talk more about it, but the buy rehab rent refinance repeat strategy is one that you should all resonate with. If you Google the strategy, there's a million different articles on it. Don't buy anything about it. Just listen, follow the concept. This is a strategy that can work for many different risk profiles because your risk profile really has to be driven off of your rehab, right? What size of a rehab do you want? I want to do carpet and paint, or I want to do carpet and paint and do some flooring, or do I want to do a gut remodel with new furnaces and new boilers and new roofs and new garages? And then that's how your risk profile should be changing in that strategy. So that's the BRRRR method and widely used and one I advocate for. It's really been a great, successful strategy that we've done. Although when I started, I wasn't really focused on the acronym, but rather what we described as value add investing. And so nonetheless, great strategy and one that I think, you know, everybody really can resonate with. And it's one that no matter where you are in the investment spectrum, think about it. It's one that you can do, right? And so it's pretty fascinating strategy.
So let's move on then to fix and flip. Cause I know we see that one a lot. And I know, you know, we've done a couple, recently that we've kind of profiled on our website, some that we've done internally and some that, that some other employees of our company are doing now. So, another common one, right?
Yeah. So this is the one you hear all the time, right? I mean,
HGTV. Yeah.
HGTV really polarized, you know, the fix and flips, right? I'm going to, you know, take the hammer and swing around here and poof, here we go. Well, it's a little bit more than that. You know, the fix and flip, right? You're buying a distressed asset. You're figuring out how to maximize its value, right? So you maximize its value. If the property doesn't have a garage, can you put a garage in it? Does it have a roof? Does it have a boiler? Does it? And all of those numbers that you factor in, right? See, here's what you have to remember about the fix and flip. All of the numbers that you factor in about your fixing really needs to be contemplated on your purchase, not when you're selling it, right? If I have to go put in $5,000 for a new roof and a boiler and a AC unit for $3,500, I need to factor that into the buy. You make your money on the fix and flip on the purchase, right? You need to know what you're buying it for, and most importantly, what is the ARV or what are you going to sell it for? And so long as you understand those two spectrums, right? So you're all the way here on the left hand. This is what I'm buying it for. In between the left hand and the right hand is somewhere in between there is what I'm going to put into the property. and then my profit, right? Those two segments make mm-hmm. then get you to your ARV, right? And so how do you factor that into what you're doing, right? Where does the fix stop? Right here. And then the rest of it's profit. And so time and fixing expenses or fix up expenses is really what takes away from your profit. And so the longer you have to do the rehab, the more you're spending on property taxes and insurance and interest and who knows what else happens, because that's what happens when you own homes, versus if you're just going to simply buy the house and I'm going to do a very calculated rehab and I'm going to sell the house. Remember, you're not there to win any architectural marvels. You're not there to win any prizes, right? You're there to win money. And how do you win the money? You do a quality job of rehabbing and you sell the property immediately on the market. And from there, that's your profit.
Yep. And I think to your point, right, about, you know, the sale, your profits are almost won at the beginning, right? Well before
they're 100%. That's why we lend, right? That's how we lend on it, right?
You lend
on the ARV, we know what your profits are. The problem is, what people don't understand is that the sooner you can get to the ARV or the sale, the sooner you can get your profit. You have your profit the day you bought the house, in my opinion, right? You already made your money. The problem is that you can't actually get your money until you go sell it again, right?
So if you're, you know, delaying with your contractors, or, you know, it was like, it was going to be this countertop. Now you didn't like it.
Right.
So it's just like, you know what? You got to get to that point B, because you already had your good stuff.
Yeah. And every time you're delayed, you're just losing money. You don't realize it. You might not like, oh, geez, that cost me money. Yeah, it cost you money. Take your payment every month and divide it by 30 and figure out what it costs you every day. Plus taxes and interest and insurance. You can figure it out. So time is money, but the fix and flip property is very common. It's one that we finance a ton of it, and we do a ton of it, and it's really one that we know very well. What I'll tell you is, you know, just the pro tips is you make all your money on the buy, you got to operate with great urgency to get to the sell, and you got to operate with great permits. With great efficiency. What I want to remind everybody is pull permits. Don't do shoddy work. That's not the intention of a fix and flip, right? Nobody wins, right? Nobody wins in that process. The buyers can see your terrible work. Do good work, do quality work, but be efficient. Be efficient in what you're doing. And so fix and flip is a great strategy. HGTV has done a great job polarizing it. It's one of those things you can do the work yourself, right? Mm-hmm. I can be Scott the contractor who's going to go and paint and do all the work, or I can be Scott the owner who's going to subcontract to another contractor who's going to do the work. And so traditionally how I've done it my whole life, flipping houses for 20 years, is I have used the contractor. And so I've built relationships with contractors that have been very successful in helping me create a strategy, right? What color walls do I paint, and what's the sheen on the paint, and what's the sheen on the trim? And we don't have those conversations anymore. We've been doing it for so long. It's go get it done. And you know what I want. I want XYZ granite. I want, you know, full to the ceiling cabinetry. I like to do, as my own little pro tip, I like to throw in a 48-inch double wide refrigerator freezer. It's just one of those things not everyone puts in.
It's the Lurie fridge.
Yeah. Well, there you go. It's like the fridge from the Bears or whatever that guy's name was. Refrigerator Perry.
There you go.
So that's the fix and flip. And once again, we're going to dive into that strategy a little bit further as we carry on with this podcast series. And, you know, I, once again, the risk profile of a fix and flip is much higher than the first method of BRRRR, right? It just is. It takes a lot more energy. It takes a lot more management. It takes a lot more capital. It takes a lot more to get to the end game, right? It just does. And so, you know, evaluate who you are, right? Can you do it? You know, and once again, all your money is made on your buy. So make sure you're buying right. If you're buying wrong, there's nothing that anybody can do to help you get to the finish line successfully, right? You get to the finish line, but who knows? Yeah. So, as we started, there's so many different strategies in real estate.
Sure.
There's wholesaling, retailing, blah, blah, blah. The three we focus on here are
even Airbnb and vacation. I mean,
yeah,
all
there's
kind of
Airbnb, there's cash flow, there's rooming houses. You can name, there's student housing, there's industrial, there's so many different investment platforms. We focus on the BRRRR here. We focus on fix and flips. And the last one is wholesaling, right? And so what is wholesaling? Wholesaling is basically, you are a marketing genius, a maven, a person who understands how to go out and get somebody to sell you their property for less money than you can sell the contract for. It's that simple. right? So think about it. You're taking a home. You're going to go to 123 Main Street, and Grandma Smith lives there. And Grandma Smith has lived in this house for 50 years. Grandma Smith doesn't feel good anymore. So Grandma Smith's going to say, I'm going to go to a retirement community. I want to live with my friends. I want to play, I don't know what the card games the old ladies play anymore.
Pinochle, but, I think.
Okay, Pinochle. So I'm going to go play some Pinochle with the old ladies, and we're going to have fun. Okay, great. Enjoy, Grandma. But I got to sell this house. And so Grandma says, but I haven't touched this house in 50 years, right? And so you see all of these other people out there, right? We buy houses. We buy ugly houses, right? I was just in Tennessee home buyers, right? All of these people are attracting and advertising people to sell them their home. I'm going to sell you my home. And what they do with it once they have it under contract is what they call wholesaling. So they then take the property and they go to their defined list of buyers and they say, hey, buyers, I have this property under contract at 123 Main Street. Do you want to buy it for $65,000? Whatever the number is. And they might have it under contract for $50,000,
sure.
Right? And so the wholesaling component is if they have it under for 50 and you agree to buy it for 65, they've made a profit of what?
$15,000,
right? So typically there's two ways this happens. There is an A to B, B to C closing, right? So buyer A will buy the home for 50,000. Then they'll be, so now A is the seller, is Grandma. B is the wholesaler, is wholesaler A, wholesaler B. And then B will sell it to me as the investor. Right. And then my job is I'm going to rehab it. Right. So I just bought a property in Cudahy. I bought it from a rehabber, a wholesaler. Right. So he made a wholesaling fee of, I think it was $18,000 or something like that. So, okay. He made a fee. Now I didn't have to go look for the house. Now I'm going to make on my pro forma number based on what I bought the house for $80,000. Now I have to do the risk, right? The risk profile's up. I have to go fix the foundation and install, but I'm going to earn $80,000, but he made 15 and or 18 or whatever his number was. So my point is saying that he was able to, now he got the 18,000 and he went to go to his next one. And maybe he did five of those this month, right? Maybe he did four.
It sounds really nice because you think like, wow, he found four properties and he just did that. And then that's a lot of money. But
yeah, it's a little
you
bit
have to
more
imagine like how many, you know, that's a lot of prospecting. I imagine he went through a lot of cold calling.
Yeah, that's the Damien guy that keeps calling me every week. Damien, you want to sell your property, Scott? Damien, who are you? Why do you keep calling me? Damien's a wholesaler. He's a lead generator. So what they do is work on percentages, right? It's just like cold calling. It's just like mailers, right? So what they're doing is they're trying to find people. And so they look at various options, right? So they look at probate. They look at estates. They look at fire damaged homes. They look at you name it. There's a litany of other categories, houses that have been days on the market over 90 days, days on the market over 180 days, days on the market over a year. All of that is all pullable information, right?
Because in this market, that says something, right?
Right. Well, you're in a buyer's market today. If something's not selling, there's a reason why, right? Traditionally, it's either overpriced, A, or it's in shitty, it's in poor condition, excuse my French. And so, so what I'd say to you is, you know, think about it, right? And so when you're wholesaling, you know, you have to be the person that can do one of two things. And I say this to you almost as an industry plea, right? The industry has to have some ethics. And if you as a wholesaler are buying a property for too high of a value and trying to wholesale it with no intention of ever closing on it, you are essentially taking a home buyer and putting them to pack up their house and sell it to you with you never having the intention of buying it. And that happens, right? And what happens then is somebody gets screwed, right? And it's usually the homeowner who says, geez, I sold it to this. And I get these calls all the time. This person said they'd buy it from me and I never heard from them again. Yes, we know. I could tell you that story. I've heard it 100 times. I'm sorry. We do have some unethical people in this industry and in any industry. And so what I'll tell you as a wholesaler is be convicted to finding the buy, right? And when you find the buy, you know you're going to sell it. If you wholesaler, if you're wholesaling and you're not able to buy it because you're spending too much to buy it and you can't find someone to flip it to or to wholesale it to, well, you're not doing it right. And so there are some really good wholesalers in the city of Milwaukee. There are some really good wholesalers throughout the country. People that just have a great knack for identifying distressed sellers, right? And those sellers come from a litany of reasons, as we briefly discussed. And once again, we're going to get into this topic a little further as we carry on. But, you know, when you look at it, here's what you have to think about. If you want to be a wholesaler, everyone wants to be a wholesaler because everybody wants to make a lot of money and not do a lot of work, right? So join the club, right? You and congratulations, you and everyone else want to be a wholesaler. Congrats. The problem is when you want to be a successful wholesaler, how do you be good at what you do, right? You have to invest time, energy, and effort, right? It's not that you do nothing and you get reward, right? Think about that. That would be amazing. I can go and wish myself that I'm successful today. And guess what? I'm successful. No, that's not how this works. So like anything, there is no free money. There is no ability to get rich quick scheme in real estate. It takes time, energy, and effort. And so the good wholesalers, and there are plenty of them, the good wholesalers that are in our market are those people that, are doing their job professionally, like anything. And so with that said, you know, I encourage you to look at your various different risk profiles. They all fall along the categories of the three topics that we just discussed. We're going to dig into these more in each episode. I've got some really exciting episodes coming along. We've got some great interviews. We're going to interview a very large title company that's going to go through what's title. I mean, a lot of people don't really understand what title is or what you're buying. You know, when you buy a home, people think I bought a home. Well, you really bought a piece of paper that says you own the home. You don't realize that. But we got to get into that. And what are titles and what are exceptions? And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about property insurance. We're going to talk about how to manage your investments. We're going to talk about accounting and a litany of other things. I mean, we're going to have so much fun with this year. I'm really excited to be here with you guys. And so if you ever wanted to submit a topic to us, obviously visit us at MilwaukeeHardMoney.com and contact us and just say, hey, here's a podcast topic I'd love to share with you. But until that time or until we hear from you again, I want to obviously make sure that if there's anything we can do for you here, please reach out. The purpose of this podcast, once again, is free education. And so we'd love to obviously continue to share this with you. So thank you for being here. Wish you all a very, very happy and healthy new year and happy investing. Mike, signing off, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Scott. And thank you to all of our listeners. We will catch you next time.
Shut up and sit down.